Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles out and turn to Revelation in chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 and 17. It reads, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Father in heaven, we come to you this morning knowing you're the mighty God of heaven. Knowing that apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, we have no right nor parcel in the work of God, let alone to be part of your family. And so, Jesus, thank you for being the Redeemer. Thank you for being the Savior. Thank you for visiting this earth. The incarnation, going to Calvary, shedding your blood and rising again on the third day. Thank you for birthing the church. What a privilege. God, would you help us as a people this morning, as a called out assembly, to catch the vision, to hear the commands, to do our part in winning this world for Jesus. Help us to be selfless, a little less full of our own desires and our own agendas. God, help us to make room for the will of God in our lives. In fact, help us to surrender. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Luke chapter 14. Hey, Raleigh, that's the wrong picture, man. I'm not going to be able to preach with that. There's another one. It's a false scene. Take a quick look and you'll be able to get it. I know you'll figure it out. There's probably about 30 of them up there. But once that kicks in, I'm going to really be able to let go, all right? But until that happens... Not that I've got issues, but wait a second. Gotta make sure everything is right in the middle. Oh yeah, right here. Here we go, right here. Okay, I'm ready to go now. I don't like that one, by the way. Last Sunday morning, I bared my soul before you and told you what a hard morning it was and how I lost my temper and everything was going wrong, and I'm walking through the rain because I was locked out of the church building early morning, walked through the rain, went into my bag, I couldn't find any keys over there, walked back, stopped and kicked the cement steps on the way out of my house, the back door there, and knowing that it was going to hurt my foot, but I did it anyway, and sulking and walked back through the pouring rain back to the church building, and just my flesh is all it was, just my flesh. And I'm sure in heaven they probably wondered, why does God, that's one of God's called men? Are you kidding me? You know, I can imagine the conversation there in heaven. After the service, a humble little lady by the name of Shannon Crawford admitted that she was the one that locked up the building. And I said, you don't have anything to apologize for. You were doing the right thing. But isn't it good that she has that spirit and that heart? That she felt guilty. Here's her words. I feel bad that I made my pastor mad. That's a good spirit. That really is. I'm serious. Set aside the humor in it. But that's, you know, she just, you got a good wife, Derek. Where you at, Derek? You got a good wife. Shannon, is that what you wanted me to say this morning? You covered it? No, she is. And she was sincere. You could tell. And boy, I thought, I really felt guilty after that. Luke in chapter 14. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. I pray that somehow I'll do it justice this morning. Next week is Friend Day. We aren't ready. We aren't ready because we've been doing so many other things. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Friend Day cards in the back, You see how many are back there? It's because everybody's involved in all the other efforts, and old school is a big endeavor. God bless you, man. There were 73 pastors here. It was a wonderful day. I think we impacted heaven. I impacted the state of Michigan for the cause of heaven. I heard all kinds of great comments all week long. I was at a board meeting on Friday. I heard things like this: best preachers meeting in the state of Michigan. I tell that to everybody, everywhere I go. A little slice of heaven come down to earth for Michigan pastors. Those are the kind of things I heard. It was, and it's you. It's our Lord Jesus Christ using his church. I'm not the church. You're the church. God bless you for your effort. God bless you. That being said, Friend Day kind of got kicked to the curb for just a little bit. Of those few cards that are back there, 7 of them I got. So we've got 1 week. We're not canceling Friend Day. We've got 1 week. I need your help. Get it together. There's going to be a feast at God's house next week. That's Luke in chapter 14. And I want to preach it this morning, and I pray that I'm able to give it the right and proper context, and you'll get excited about what God could do. Now, we got 1 week. That's not a lot of time. It's 1 week to invite people, get them out for Friend Day. Because I'll say this, with all of the authority of Scripture, it is God's will that the church house be filled next Sunday morning to overflowing. No, we're full now, but filled to overflowing. That unsaved people would be here from every walk of life. It's not going to happen because one or two people are out beating the bushes. We got to go into the highways and the hedges, and we need to reach everybody we can for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you with me this morning? I'm not chewing you out. This is a message of encouragement. Get with it. You say, I don't like those contracts. Well, shame on you, because it encourages the brethren. It encourages the families to come that are going to come. It's a prayer card. It does so much more. Let's get out and do it. And if you don't like the cards, all right, that's fine. You better have 10 people here then. All right, don't just sit back and complain. Let's get involved in the work of God, and souls will be saved. Now, this is what we're reading in Luke 14 is the last year of Jesus' earthly ministry. He's answering questions by way of parables prior to this. Questions concerning the kingdom. Questions on prophecy. Questions on Christian living. Because he knows the embryo for the church, the soon-to-be-birthed New Testament local church, is right there listening to him. And we go to Luke and chapter 14, and why don't you stand with me one more time? Get it in gear. You look like you're listening, but you look like you're not ready to say amen or get involved. Man, I want you to be in on this. Verse 1, I'll just read verse 1, and then you're going to sit down. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, they watched him. God bless this message. Take over in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On the Sabbath, it was common to have people come over to your house, those that had the wherewithal to do so, and have a meal. We do very much the same thing on Sundays as far as the New Testament local church. Today, we're going to have a big meal. Deb's got ham in the roaster, and there's going to be mashed potatoes. I don't know that they're mashed yet, but I'm just kind of throwing that out there in faith. There's going to be mashed potatoes, and we're going to have some vegetable of some kind, and I trust there's going to be some kind of dessert. In fact, I know there's at least one blackberry pie over there. I'm pretty excited about that, and that's just all part of our Sunday ritual. It's just the way it is, and the place is full, and it's family, and there's laughter, and everything is all abuzz, and that's exactly the way it was even in the days of Jesus. Now, it's the Sabbath, so it's Saturday, and he's been teaching, he's been preaching and using parables, and now it's time to eat. So he's invited, and he goes to the house of one of the chief Pharisees, a leader of the Pharisees, these fault-finding Pharisees, these phony spiritual, these fake religious, these false, these false security kind of individuals. They're religionists. That's all they have. And they're trying to find fault with the Son of God. This is a setup. This is what you need to know. He's invited to this house, and it says, and they watched him. They watched him. And don't ever try to match wits with God. You're going to lose every single time. They set him up by inviting someone they would not normally invite, a man with a dropsy. That was like a heart condition, lung condition. It had to do with water and they're just very, very, very painful. And this was someone this chief Pharisee would not have normally invited. But they invited him knowing that wanting to watch and see what Jesus would do with this one man, this outsider with the dropsy. Verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" Now, these heartless Pharisees were using this sick man to try to get across some spiritual, some religious agenda that they have. Jesus, frontal attack. Again, don't ever try to match wits with God. I'm telling you, if you try to explain away your own personal sin with God, you're going to lose. If you think you're winning, you're the only person you're fooling is yourself. God is God. And so he hits them right with a head on with the truth, and he puts this out to them: Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Because obviously, I'm going to heal this man with the dropsy. And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him again to these things, these Pharisees with their false piety. Before I get to the meat of this message, this is set up. He's going to talk about humbleness of spirit here in just a moment. If we are willing, Fundamental Baptist Church will shake the state of Michigan. If we are willing, we will become a city of refuge for the broken, and God will bring them here. If we are willing, God will meet the needs of the spiritually broken, and we'll be part of it. If we are willing, there's going to be a great harvest. There's going to be a banquet at God's house. Now, this is a parable that Jesus is going to teach and preach concerning Israel. And he says to Israel, it's for the Gentiles too. Now I'm calling you, but you're not listening. I'm inviting you, but you're not listening. Israel is a nation. I'm calling you to the Messiah, but you're rejecting. And what I want the soul winners to know, it's time to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Because there's room at God's table. That's how I got in, by the way. I got in because there's room for sinners at God's table. He'll clean us up and he'll make us right. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all of our sin. Heaven, again, is not for the elite, but it is an exclusive way. You only come by way of Jesus. And if you'll come, there's room. Look, let's read on here. Verse 7 says, "And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, those which were invited, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room." By the way, in order to have this banquet, in order to have this harvest, there has to be a proper, humble mindset. Just the opposite of the Pharisees. He was preaching to the Pharisees. He's saying, we gather together, and many of you want the chief seats. You want the uppermost rooms. You got to know the right people in order to be somebody. You got to make a certain amount of money in order to be somebody. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, that's not the way it is in the family of God. It's for everybody. It's for everybody who'll come by way of the cross. Everyone who'll come by way of Jesus Christ. Straight and narrow is the gate. So we can't ever get that. And here's a danger where we step away from that and we know it's an exclusive way, and we step away from that and we make it a prideful way. Like it's going to be my way and only my way, and we're better than you. And if we ever get that attitude, man, people aren't going to come to the Christ of Calvary. So there's got to be that humble mindset. If we're going to shake the state of Michigan, We as a local church and other local New Testament local churches as well. But I'm not preaching to them. I'm preaching to us. We as a New Testament local church, we've got to be humble. There's no room for big shots. You aren't gifted to be somebody in the family of God. That's not how it works. Jesus said the least to be the greatest. You know who's going to be blessed? The guy that picks up the paper. The guy that works behind the scenes. The woman that's on her knees. Not someone that's up front in the limelight. And if we ever get people up front in the limelight and it's about the limelight, God's going to take his hand off of us. Man, I have fun with my ego all the time. You know why I have fun with it? It's self-deprecating. You know why that is? Because I know it's a nothing. It's a nothing burger. It's worth nothing. Tim Rader doesn't have to be anybody, and he's not anybody. Just a sinner saved by grace. And if the church will have that mindset, we've got to work on it all the time. God will use us. That's attractive to God. You know what's repulsive? Stinking pride. That's repulsive to God. Let's read on. When thou art bidden of any man, I'm sorry, let's go down to verse 10. When thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You can't be proud and be spirit-filled. And it's embarrassing if you get full of yourself and God has to chop you down. That's embarrassing. That's what he's saying here. Far better, take the worst seats, take the lowest room, don't try to be somebody, and if promotion comes, let God invite you and let God promote you. Don't self-promote. Don't do that. Not in the family of God. That's religious politics. Don't play those kind of games. Do not self-promote. That may work for Amway, or that may work for the corporate system. That may work for something out there in the world. In fact, that's how it works out there in the world. But in the family of God, with God's blessing, and that's what really determines blessing, God's blessing. You know, that's not how it works. We do not self-promote. I still can't believe I'm a preacher. I know who I am and where I'm from. I know what I got on the inside. I can't believe that God uses me. I weep, I fail, I'm on my knees, I beg for forgiveness, my attitude sometimes stinks, and God's using me. I can't believe it. Don't self-promote. Let's go back to the text. Then said he unto him that bade him, this is the parable, when thou makest the dinner or a supper, you know, he's speaking right to those Pharisees that are there. You understand he was invited out to dinner. He says, here's a parable for you, fellas. Catch this one. He said, then said he also unto them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. You see, again, he's saying, it's not religious politics. You don't give to get. You give to reach the lost. So you don't just call your friends. Watch out for cliques. We got to guard against that all the time. We're a family church. We got all kinds of families in this church. And that's right and that's proper. And God blesses that. But reach outside your family. You know, reach to people that aren't yet involved or aren't yet even born again. He said, now listen, don't just invite those that can do something for you. Verse 13. But when thou makest the feast, call the poor and the maimed. And the lame and the blind. There's a promised blessing. And thou shalt be blessed. You have an open house policy. A red carpet welcome. To everyone who will come. To every sinner who will hear. To everyone that's athirst. You invite them to Christ. You get them the best way you know how out to the church services. You get them underneath the preaching of the gospel. It can't be just having an electronic sign outside or a banner or a bulletin that says welcome or a... That's good enough, Raleigh. I'm good with that, all right? That isn't it. We'll talk afterwards, okay? But you can't just have a welcome sign. That doesn't do it. That's not how you fish. You don't go out in the boat without putting any bait on the hook or throwing the line over the edge of the boat and just kind of set up a little sandwich sign in the bow of your boat. Just sit out there. Come on in, you lucky fish. Just jump right in. You know, how often is that going to happen? You know, it may happen, but it's going to happen very, very seldom. And there's all kinds of fish out there, all kinds of people that need Christ. There's a promised blessing, open house, open church. It says, and thou shalt be blessed. Old school for me, and I'm sure, and for the preacher part of me and the preachers that come, it is the greatest day of the year. It's kind of like men, soldiers of the cross that you don't see a lot, and sometimes you never see but that one time a year. And we all get together. Wasn't it good hearing those men sing last Monday night? Man, that just stirred my heart. The music was wonderful. How about Brother Tharp singing We Believe? Wow! There's our national anthem right there for the New Testament church. What a doctrinal song. Powerful. And it happened because some people were willing to work behind the scenes. I say, God bless you. For the 73 pastors that were here, God bless you. For the hundreds of people that were here, God bless you. It was a wonderful night. We can reach this state if we're willing. He said, don't just invite your friends. Go get the poor, the maimed, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. Don't get people that can do you good. Go get the people that are needy. Let's read on. When one of them that sat at meat with Jesus, with him, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread of the kingdom of God. It's a big amen. There's a man sitting there listening to what Jesus is saying. He's saying, that makes perfect sense. Here we are sitting around this table right now and eating. Won't it be great when we actually pull a chair up to God's table? Won't it be great when we eat bread in heaven? Wouldn't it be great when we fellowship there in heaven? Verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. By the way, that's friend day. That's the cards. Invited many. Bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now's the time. Right now, let's get it done. And he says, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it, and I pray thee, have me excused. What a great way, I got to say this from my man heart, what a great way to picture heaven. A banquet. First day of the church, they broke bread, Acts chapter 2. Jesus on the seashore. When Peter realized it was Christ, there he was with fire and coals and fish and bread. They broke bread together. There's something, it's just a picture there. Family, all together. By the way, you're my family. We're an individual New Testament local church, but we're a church family. We've got crazy uncles here, and we've got weird aunts here, and we've got little kids that sometimes misbehave, but we love them. You know what? We love them, and we try to help them all. A banquet in God's house. I can't wait. Tonight's message, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19. What a day that's going to be. He bid many. He said, come, for all things are now ready. First man says, well, I bought a piece of ground. Another said, verse 19, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Excuses, fortune, vocation, family. By the way, none of those are excuses. They're all supposed to fit together in the family of God. The New Testament local church is all about the family. You want your family help? You want family time? Bring them to church. Don't take away from God in order to invent some family time. That don't cut it. That excuse to fortune, that's supposed to be for God. Vocation, your job, that's supposed to be for God. It all fits together. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. He said, go out quickly. Let me ask you this something about the harvest. Let me ask you this about the harvest and about reaching the rest of Chippewa County. If not now, when? People are dying. People are drifting and growing harder. If not now, when? That's why the master said, go out quickly. Go out with urgency. Advance the cause of Christ. Now, in the highways and the byways, in the hedges. The hedges, by the way, that's where the real poor people lived. Hedges, you just kind of picture it in your mind. It was the markers, the fence rows between the fields. And the very poor people, there are people like that in this world today, where they would clear out a room, dig out a way in the hedge, hedges, and that's where they lived. And they had nothing else. And there are people like that spiritually in Chippewa County. They've got nothing going for them. They've got absolutely nothing. You say, preacher, we bring them here, they're going to be a drain. Let them be a drain. Let God have his way. The command is to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them. That means exhort. That means convince them, persuade them to come in. Verse 21. The poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now he's talking to Israel. In the absolute context, he's talking to the Jews. He's saying, you're going to reject me? Then I'm telling my people to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. There's room. There is room. He's speaking to those that will be the embryo, the makeup of the church when it is born in Jerusalem. They're there as well. And they're listening. This is a Bible principle. We're to advance the cause of Christ in every direction. Without compromising Bible, without compromising doctrine, we're to think outside the box sometimes, but we're to get the Word of God out to people that are in our communities. We are somehow, it is not about, well, I'm going to church this morning, I hope I get something out of it. That's not it. We're glad to minister to you, but we need soldiers. We need people that are going out and getting others and bringing them in. Thus, Friend Day. We got 1 week. That's not much time. 1 week to get serious. We've been busy. We've had work days. We got all kinds of things going on. Right now, we've got 7 days till Friend Day. And I need your help. I need to go out and get some lost people. I need to go out and round up strays, those that are born again, but they're not connected to the local church. We need to advance the cause of Christ. Listen to the words of Jesus in this parable. Listen to these words. Compel them. Go get them. Bring them in. There's still room. And until the trumpet sounds, there is still room.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.